Hello once again, and thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing Word of Truth. This we're looking at lesson number 4, and we're going to be talking about some contrast in God's Word. And today we're looking at the fact that Israel is God's chosen nation and will be supremacy over the nations. And the contrast to that will be the body of Christ is neither made up of Jew and Gentile. And if you've been listening over the past several weeks, we hope that you're starting to understand you have the Word of God for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible, and that you can understand the Word of God with a key that God designed for us, and it's called 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we know that is a key to understanding, and I'm looking at you guys right now as far as saying, how many of you really want to know what God has store for you? Or understand God's Word? You know, the hands are going up all over the place and the heads are nodding yes, yes, yes. But as you understand the Word of God and the way this lesson is laid out, it will allow you to believe the Word. Don't believe me. Don't believe your mom and dad or grandmother and grandfather. You believe the Word of God. And that will make a difference in your life. So lesson 4, if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, Israel is God's chosen nation. And once again, you can follow this study guide on the website. If you're there, www.kentgracefellowship.org under a contrasting of God's Word. And you can print this out and just follow along with us. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. I always love to do this. Verse 1. You see those names in there? The Hittites, the Jurgenites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites? The Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Stark Countyites. You know who those sons are? You know who their daddy was in these people right here? It's Canaan. Back in Genesis chapter 10. And you know what happens in Genesis chapter 10? There's a kingdom started called Babel. So these people are in the land and they got strongholds in the land and their daddy is, or the ones they followed is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of this world that has control of this world today. But as you look down through there, Israel is going into land, okay? And he tells them, they got all these things. Look what it says in verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them or show mercy upon them. Boy, that don't sound like the God that people want you to believe in today, does it? You know, and it talks about neither shall they make marriage with them. Thy daughter shall not, thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. They're not supposed to mess with these people. Okay? Here's what they should do. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven image with fire. The things that they was worshiping and the things that they was seeing is not good for Israel's eyes. I tell you what, it's not good for your eyes either as a member of the body of Christ. Okay? But look. For thou art a holy people. Who's he talking to here? Israel. Amen. Not the body of Christ. Period. It's Israel. Thou shalt be art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Israel, if you have your right division chart out, they're supposed to be above all other people on the face of the earth. that little chosen nation. And it says, the Lord did not send His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in numbers than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He will keep the oath which He has sworn unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the dispensation of promise. See, He promised Abraham the land, didn't He? He promised Abraham the nation. Follow me? He's going to honor that. That chose Israel to be supremacist over all the nations. Nations, mind you. Not be a part of the nation. United Nations. Okay? Go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And we're going to be back in Deuteronomy just in a few minutes, so if you want to stay there. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 5. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. 4. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Who is thee? That's prophecy. Okay? And by the way, that hasn't happened yet. So that's in what we call ages to come.
So who is thee?
Thee is Israel, the nation Israel. Okay? Got that? Not the body of Christ. Don't let people make that out to be you today in a dispensation of grace. It says, and the Gentiles, that's the nations, that's who we are, before we become members of the body of Christ, shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Who's thee? Israel. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come upon unto thee. There's going to be a time in prophecy over here in ages to come that the Gentiles is going to come to Israel's light, because God's with them. Now, you may think back in a time when this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that? You sung that when you were a kid? There's a light in Goshen, wasn't there? When there's 10 plagues, the only light to be seen was in that nation of Israel. It's going to happen over here. And when it's dark and dreary, and what we was talking about, the seed is on the throne over here. Satan's seed. And crushes Israel down. They got to run. They got to go somewhere. Go to back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That is, what we just read is a prophetic prophecy promise is yet to happen. But it's for who? Israel. The nation Israel. Biblical nation Israel, mind you. Okay? I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're listening to the world news and you're thinking about what's going on across the world. This is something different here, guys. This is spiritual Israel, okay? This is who God is dealing with. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. What's that about spiritual Israel? Well, God is dealing with them spiritually and physically on the earth, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Check this out. Verse 13. If you know about Deuteronomy chapter 28, God split the tribes up, and they had two stones. One is a blessing stone and one is a cursing stone. And they're standing on two sides of mountains. If you do this, you're going to get the blessings. If you don't do this, you're going to get the cursings. And it's laid out there. Tell you exactly what. Israel, not you. Israel. And I get upset if it sounds like I'm angry at anything. I'm angry at the fact that people try to make you spiritualize things that you are not. And you are to stand on your own two feet that God gave you and the heart that He gave you in His Word and say, you know something, that's not to me. Amen. It's for me. I can understand what God is doing, but it's not to me. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head. Who's that thee there?
Israel.
Make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. They're not supposed to be a tail. They're supposed to be a head. They're not supposed to be beneath nations. They're supposed to be above nations. That's how God set them out to be on the earth. Spiritual people and physical people. Okay? Or what's the word I'm looking for? Judicial, executive, legislative, governmental people. Okay? That's who they're supposed to be. Matthew chapter 10. Many of you know this. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. He chose 12. And He told them to go to the nations. And He told them to baptize the nations. And He told them to save the nations. Right?
No.
Amen. He says in Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. And commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, the nation of Israel was still not to go to the Gentiles. Now, can the Gentiles be saved in times past? Absolutely. Absolutely. God made a provision for them, but they had to become an Israelite, they call them a proselyte. You become a Jew. Or you blessed Abraham and I blessed those. And I said this before and I'll say it again. Cornelius was that type of a Gentile. He blessed Israel. People want to make him like a God-fearing Gentile, heathen, idol-worshipping, you know, that type of Gentile. He wasn't. Was he a Gentile? Yes. But under the Abrahamic covenant, you can bless Israel and you get blessings. You curse Abraham, Israel, and you get what?
Curses.
Blessings and curses. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go saying, preaching, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. They are to go to the nation and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand and heal them. And feed them, and clothe them, all this stuff. That's to the nation. Because it's God's chosen people on this earth to have that. Romans chapter 9. And I know what many of you think of Romans chapter 9. Isn't that button out books? That's right. You've got to understand, even Paul's epistles, you have to rightly divide his epistles. What do we always say about Romans? A book of doctrine, isn't it? Okay, you have to have the book of Romans settled in your heart before you can move on to any other books in the Bible, in the mystery program, dispensation. Romans chapter 1 through 5 deals with justification. Romans chapter 6 deals with dead to sin. Romans chapter 7 deals with dead to law. Romans chapter 8 deals with dead to flesh. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 deals with the dispensation Israel, what God is doing in the dispensation grace with the nation Israel, the little remnant, the saved people. Because everybody else, if you didn't believe that, what Peter, James, and John preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the earthly ministry of what they preached, the circumcision gospel, then you were the heathen. After they shook hands in Galatians chapter 2. Whew, that was a lot to say, wasn't it? But look, Matthew chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 4 says, "Who is Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the services God, and the promises? Who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen." Verse 6. "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Okay? God chosen the nation Israel. Within the nation Israel, they're supposed to do some things. But the ones that wasn't doing and sanctifying themselves, were they still part of Israel? You could be a part of Israel, but not the spiritual Israel. Okay? That's the apostate Israel that people was following. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Are you saying the blocks are not big enough? Deuteronomy chapter 14. This is some really good stuff what I'm going to share with you right now, so it may not be pertaining to the lesson per se, but I want you to keep this in mind. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says, "Ye are the children." Who's that? "Ye are the children." Who's he talking to? Ye? Amen. He's talking to a nation. Ye. Not you. Ye. Not thee or thou, but ye. "Ye are the children of children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourself, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth." Israel. Times past, supposed to have been that holy nation, supposed to be an example. And this is what I share all the time, and sometimes people don't agree with me. They think that you could lose your salvation in times past, or you had to work your way for your salvation in times past. But I believe wholeheartedly that the Bible teaches that if you trust the Lord God Almighty, He counts that as righteousness. Then you get in the program, whether it's under law or under grace or under kingdom, or under dispensation for a time, and you get in that program and you understand it, and that's what sanctifies you, sets yourself apart. If you don't want to be sanctified, guess what? You're not going to be set apart in a way that God can use you. But you're still saved. And we get a misconception on works and what you have to do for this and do for that. But look at this. They were supposed to be that holy nation. Hey, if we lived in times past back over there and we seen them doing what God said, and I'm over here in a Gentile walking a heathen of the earth, and I'm like, and I hear about this God the Creator, and I see Israel doing what God said, wouldn't that draw me there if I was wanting what they had? But if they're over here apostate, whoring around, if you don't mind me saying that, in other religions, thinking that God's doing that, I know many of you are like, "Oh my gosh, did he just say that?" Yes, I did. And that's what they was doing. They was committing adultery. They was committing a spiritual adultery against what God was doing, and God hated it. He divorced them. You know, He divorced them. And then He turned around and said, "I'm not going to do what man does." And He took them back. Read Hosea and Amos. It will blow your mind what God did for the nation Israel. He didn't give them up because they walked the worthy of the world. He still gave them chance after chance after chance. But look, as I was reading down through there, it talks about dietary laws. What Israel can eat and what not to eat. Boy, if you read down through there and things that we eat today, you wish you was under that Israel program, you know? Because they got fish out there named today. I've never heard of a tilapia. What is that? That's a glorified what? Flounder? You know? Or a bottom feeder of a flounder? You know what I'm talking about? They couldn't. You know, Israel could not eat catfish. But people want to put you under law and say, "We got a fish fry Friday night." You tell that to a southern guy that they can't eat catfish, boy, you might as well put on the boxing gloves or take them off because they're going to fist fight you. That is a major food source. Period. You can't eat shrimp either. Catfish don't have no scales. And God said you can't eat fish without scales. tells Ezra, the animals. But as you read down through there, but look at this. I was looking at this. Look at verse 23. And I'm going to read 23 down to 25 right quickly. And I want you to think of where you heard this at. And how it's been misleading. Look at verse 23. Well, verse 22 of Deuteronomy 14. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increases of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year after year. Okay? All right? I know some of you thinking about, oh, hey, here we go. We're going to hit on something that's going to disturb a lot of people. You read down through there what you can eat and what you can't eat. Look at verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he hath chosen to place his name there. Okay? The tithe of thy corn and thy wine and of thy oil and the firstlings of thy herd and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. They're tithing what here?
Food.
Spoils of their first fruits. Okay? And they want to, and God told them to do that so they'll fear him. God, it's yours. Of thine. Look at the verse 24. And if the way be too long for what?
For you to journey to give the tithe.
Going back to the place that God's going to choose, which we know is where now. Jerusalem is a city of God, and doesn't matter where you was and where you at. If you was Israel, you're supposed to pay homage to Israel at least what, once a year? Or three times a year. And if you, and when they went into captivity, Daniel went into captivity, you know what he says? If you can't make it there, you know what you're supposed to do? Face that direction and pray three times. That's why they knew when Daniel got caught and they made that decree, if anybody prays, they knew exactly what Daniel was doing. But he did not give that up. He still was separated. He still made himself holy, and people recognized who he was. But look at this. So that thou, verse 24, and if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, carry what?
The food.
The things in verse 23. Or if the place be too far from thee, which from here to Jerusalem is pretty good. Is it a Sabbath day journey? No, so you know what they did? They set up other sanctuaries and synagogues. And that's why that king at Northern Kingdom said, hey, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You can go worship here. That's why when Jesus came in John 4, says, you know what? Not what you worship. You know, you guys are up here worshiping a place that God didn't ordain. But the king of Israel, the split, did that. But look, that's another subject, another time. Man, this book's wonderful. But look at this. Which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there when the Lord thy God have blessed thee. Then, verse 25, then shalt thou turn it into
money.
And bind up the money in thy hand, and thou shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. What verses that I'm thinking about over here about the tithing? Malachi. Bring into the storehouse. It's food, people. And the reason they put in the money, and they went to the temple in Jerusalem, they're to buy. You don't believe me? Look at this. It says, and thou shalt bestow the money, verse 26, that money for whatsoever thy soul lusts after, for the oxen or the sheep or the wine and for the strong drink and whatsoever thy soul desire. When they get to Jerusalem, they're there at a marketplace to buy the turtle doves, to buy the lambs. See, it's nothing bad when that they was doing that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the reason he turned it over, it made it into a den of what? Thieves. They was charging more than what God required them to pay for something. Jewish had a great custom that, you know, when I gave you money, I'm not supposed to charge that interest. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, especially when you're borrowing it. Do you want to pay interest? But you will if you need to. But what I'm getting at is, they turn it into money, they make the trip easier for them. They go to Jerusalem and they lay it out there and buy whatever they want to buy to give it to the Lord. Wonderful thing. But these people mixes up tithing, and you know what I'm talking about. Show them this verse, will you? Show them that it has to do with food, storehouse, to feed people. Feed people.
Feast days.
That's it. They pay tithes for the Levitical priest. 10%. Levitical priest was keeping the ordinance of God. They didn't pay taxes. They didn't own anything. So the other 11 tribes collected the money and gave them some. 10% went to the feast days. Pentecost feast days and all that. They loved to party, people. They partied. They was enjoying. They enjoyed things. That's 20% right there. 3 3/3 went to widows and orphans. That's 23 3/3. If you did not have that to give, and you ushered in goats and stuff, which is okay. But if you wanted to buy those goats and stuff back, there's a 5% tax on top of that. So it got as high as 28 1/3% tax that you pay to the nation Israel. Tithing is a tax, much like you're being taxed today on a lot of things. You know, I kid everybody all the time. I say, hey, I'm out here making 39 or 49 cents today. Big dollar. Because the rest of them's going to taxes. It's a form of taxation. And I'm not saying if you want to tithe, it's you're not under a law to tithe. You want to give because of what? Your heart. It's charity. You know, it's love. You give because you're knowing. You give because you want to pay my driveway next week, right? No. You give because God gave it to you. You know what I mean? And you put it together and you do things with it.
You don't have to pay 10%.
No, it's 200%. Yeah. And well, it's not 10%. And when the Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth, it was 100%. Sell everything you got and give it to the... And in Acts chapter 2, they sold everything they got. And this is what kills me when people want to say the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2 and that, you know, this is what you got to do. You got to repent and be baptized for remission of sins and you got to do this. But six verses down the road there, it says they sold everything they got and laid it at the feet of apostles, and apostles gave to every man his need. You don't hear them saying that. And I had a dear brother that mentioned saying, well, that was only for young people or non-married people so they can go and hit the road with this message. I'm like, no, it don't. They sold everything they had. And if you believe your Bible, that economy went broke. And Paul felt sorry for them and collected money for the poor saints of Jerusalem so they continue to live. Today it's 200%. It's not 100%. You give everything to the Lord. We'd give our firstborn to the Lord. We give all our born, but she's already spoken for. So I can't bring her here and put her in an offering plate. You know I'm joking, but seriously enough, it's time to stand what's right and do what's right. Go to Deuteronomy 26. I just had to throw that in because, you know, this is part of prophecy. This is part of the kingdom program that God set forth on earth. Now, don't run out of here and turn your radio off or turn it back on and say, what's this guy talking about? Because you know you should give something. If you got it to give, give it. But I've been told this. And you know these preachers out there will take your last dime from you. And they're getting ready to foreclose on your house. And they're getting ready to turn off your lights. And that doctor and them people saying, send me $50 in your bills. And we'll pray over them and you won't have to worry about no bills no more. Many of you are shaking your head like, that don't work, does it? God wants you to take that $50 and pay that bill off. And I tell you right now, I'd much rather have you sitting in here with no dime or penny in your pocket learning this Word of God so you can stand on who He is in you and get that benefit more full than anything you can write me a check for. That's not what we're about. And y'all should know that. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, it's about doing the work of the ministry. Getting this Word in you. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Get teary-eyed up here. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Where am I at? I'm getting there. verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shalt keep all His commandments. Who's the peculiar people in times past?
Israel.
Why?
To
keep His commandments and to be that light. Okay? He chose them. But on the contrary, au contraire, let's look at some things on the mystery program right quick. That's what this study is all about, to show you some contrast in God's Word. In God's Word, rightly divided. And the body of Christ, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Today, in the mystery program, in the dispensation of grace of God, this is what God's doing. The body of Christ is neither Jew or Gentile. He does not put Israel, the nation Israel, above any other nations. They're down here amongst the nations. Okay? They have fallen. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans 3, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In times past, there's a difference. We know Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 tells you exactly there was a difference. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now. And that's where you're at right now in the dispensation of Christ. You're in a but now. And then Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how are you are the children of God?
By
faith. That's spiritual, isn't it? Okay? You're spiritual by the children of God. And verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See that? Who is one in Christ Jesus?
We are.
Are you Israel today?
No.
Are you a Gentile today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're in a body of Christ today where there is no difference. Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
See, we talk about this line today in the dispensation of grace. God is doing something different, and there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. You're all down here in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't even want to use this line down here. This line down here on the bottom just shows you that you're in Romans 2 Philemon. You're living in a parenthesis. There's a lot of good stuff in parentheses if you read your Bible. You ever notice that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If God says, for as many of you has been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, what is Romans chapter 1 verse 12? Romans chapter 12 verse 13 say? Some of you ought to pick that up in a heartbeat right there. What have you been learning here over the last 7 years? What does it say? For by one Spirit are all ye baptized into how many bodies?
One body.
How many nations?
One
body.
What was the 1 Corinthians 12?
1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13, that's where we're at right now. Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And when we go down through here in days and weeks to come, I should say weeks to come, you're going to see a difference between the number one, dealing with the nation, the body of Christ, versus number 12, dealing with the nation Israel. Okay? God laid that out like that. But you're baptized by one spirit, are you baptized? Got it? And there is no difference. Ephesians chapter 2. Get Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. We know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, God laid it out that there's a distinction in times past. You should know that by now. In your mind, you ought to be able to close your eyes right now and draw your own dispensational chart that has to do with times past, circumcision, uncircumcision. It may not look pretty as this one up here, but you know what I'm talking about. Then verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus you were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, who hath broken down the middle wall partition between us." There was a legal wall in times past between the Israelites and the Gentiles. Jew, Gentiles. Okay? Many of you know that. There's a legal wall there. And verse 16, "And He might reconcile both unto God in one body at the cross? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereof." That's that physical wall. Verse 17, "And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh." That's what this message does. It's by the cross. God through Paul talks about it's by that cross, the instrument of that cross, that God Himself had made known to Paul that it was at that time the physical wall was broken down. It's not at the cross when it happened, because if you put yourself at the cross, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be over in Acts chapter 2 in error thinking the body of Christ started there. Make it clear, the body of Christ, what God did not start in Acts chapter 2. Yes, I said that. For all that are listening. It's mid-Acts where God started with Paul and me first. Go to, but by the cross, we can look at and see some great things, can't we? Think about that. And it's very easy to put in your mind that by the cross, see there, it's by the cross, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John must be right. Hey, Lord Jesus Christ did not die till the last chapter of Matthew, the last chapter of Mark, the last chapter of Luke, and the last two chapters of John is the only places it's recorded of His death, burial, resurrection. And He made it clear not to tell nobody. He told the 12 not to tell nobody, didn't He? And then when he said, don't tell nobody. And even after He died, Luke says about, they didn't still understand it. Think about teaching. And you're teaching your children all this thing about life. And you're growing up and growing up. And then they go out and you die or you move on and they move on. And it seems like they forgot. They didn't listen to you one bit. You ever notice that? Then one day they're like, boom, my dad taught me that. You know? John chapter 20. The Holy Spirit breathed on the 12 and they started to understand what He was taught. And then they started quoting scriptures. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit will do even in you. He's your teacher. It's not me. I'm just an instrument. But that Holy Spirit that's inside you and that Bible can teach you these things if you believe your Bible. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to get ready to wrap up. Colossians chapter 3. Whether there, well, Look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay? You're not going to put off the old, your conversations, your old, and you put on the new. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Sicilian, bond nor free, but Christ is in all, and what? I know I mispronounced that back there. We got some Italians in here just, you know, looking at me up one side and down the other. No, they're not throwing tomatoes at me yet. But look, I know you love me. And I told you on the onset, there's some things I can't pronounce, so you're just going to have to love me for who I am, eh? Right? But look, where do you find that in Christ in all?
Mystery.
And it's not until Paul. In your Bible study, don't make that mistake. I know some of us right now, just you're shaking your head and you're ready to just like call a radio station or call me. 265-5155. Just call me and we can talk about it. Until next time. Thank you.